Welcome to the Working Within podcast, a podcast dedicated to your spiritual growth, well-being, and awareness. I'm Charlene, your favorite wellness podcaster, Scorpio, and Gemini. Keep listening if you're looking for an extra supplement to help you reflect on your relationship with yourself and others, or keep you inspired and fearless about the possibilities for your own life. This season, you can look forward to topics like self-esteem, body consciousness, astrology in daily life, empowerment, law of attraction, and so much more. All with the goal of keeping you inspired and in the know. For more information, you can always connect with us at the Working Within Instagram or our website, workingwithin.net, to see our service offerings. Thank you all for your reviews, likes, and shares. And if you'd like to become a monthly supporter, you can click the link in our episode description. We look forward to building a community with you. Oh my gosh. I am so excited to be in space. In theory, again with you all. It has been a long and short break between season one of Working Within and where we are now. Can I first say thank you so much for those who are tuning in to season two of Working Within, whether you got to know Working Within through our first launch for season one, or if you've gotten to know Working Within recently through our Instagram or any other community forum. This podcast is meant to be a space where we honestly reflect, release our judgments, and share those really intimate human experiences with each other that have their little spiritual tinge because, hey, we are spirits in bodies having these experiences together. And that makes me just so excited to be kicking off everything with you all again as listeners. This week, I'm so excited for you all to hear a conversation I had with a good friend of mine, good new friend, I should say, Ben, who was a previous consultant, now self-esteem connoisseur, working on a platform that helps those who are looking to improve their mental health by first focusing on self-esteem. Ben has a platform and is the co-founder of Deep Breath, which is a digital scientific program that targets those with low self-esteem to look at how that self-esteem impacts mental health. And he really cites, you know, effects of low self-esteem, feeling like you're falling behind, being afraid of intimacy, being afraid to make mistakes, all of that leading to feelings of anxiety and depression, which feels deeply personal to me as well. And it is something we talked about on the show. Ben is a super duper smart guy, and I'm so grateful that my beautiful friend Stella connected us so that we could talk a little bit about self-esteem, self-awareness, self-empowerment together in a really cool conversation we got to have. I don't want to spoil too much, and you've likely already heard some of the quotables, so I will just let it rest there that Ben is doing an awesome job trying to normalize talks about self-esteem and how actually indicative it can be for mental health and our own happiness in our day-to-day lives. And so without further ado, let's hop into this conversation. I know a bit about you, Ben. I know a bit about Deep Breath. Obviously, the listeners, though, need their own introduction into who you are. We can get to Deep Breath whenever you feel like it. But first, I want to hear about you and your zodiac sign, because my listeners like to know that.
So, hi, I'm Ben. I live in Berlin. I'm originally from the south of Germany. My story is basically... I lived in this like very small town, which I just recently returned to like spend a couple of days with my parents. When I was 20, I moved abroad for my studies, which resulted in me more or less like basically traveling the world. I lived in Asia, like Greater China for 4 years, which was absolutely exciting and very, very cool. And then came back to Germany, Berlin, to be more precise. I started my career as a consultant at like a tier one consultancy, basically, and was thrown into a very different lifestyle, and suddenly also had to face a lot of the existentialist questions that I had kind of like subconsciously asked myself beforehand. And they hit me like full force. Yes, then like I stayed at this consultancy for a bit shy of 2 years. Realized it was not entirely my thing, and moved to a different consultancy to give consulting another shot. Simply because I had invested a lot of like time and energy into making this consulting dream happen. So in my mind, it was such a glorious thing to have, but it had to be good for me. And it took me some time to like have reality catch up with me. I also went through like a relatively rough breakup. And so like after having returned to Germany, I had basically 3 years down the road, I had realized consulting is not how I want to spend the rest of my career. The relationship also fell apart, despite my strongest efforts to make that work. And lastly, I was also back in Germany, where I actually never had wanted to return to, but I was more in like this kind of like a global traveling mindset. And so, yeah, that was kind of like, honestly, a breaking point, I think describes it quite well. And then I started planning less, doing more my thing, and trying to go more with my gut feeling. Joined a like startup in Berlin where I worked as a manager, which was like a very fun and cool time.
Yes, we love entrepreneurs.
Woo! And yeah, then met my co-founder there, who basically convinced me to start doing my own thing. Both of us share like a very deep interest in personal development, developmental psychology, mental health. And as a consequence of all of these, we ended up starting our own business, which is Deep Breath.
Deep Breath!
Woo!
Okay, I want you to talk a bit more about Deep Breath, but first, because existentialism is, it's important to unpack. What were some of those questions that were going through your mind when you were working as a consultant still that made you really want to change the way that you were living?
And I think one, like, overall, I like honestly, I didn't see a lot of meaning in what I did, for the very simple reason that I always felt like my material needs more than covered and taken care of. And if I look at like I don't know my monthly spend and the money I made, I was like, this is entirely like out of place. Like this, it's entirely disproportionate. Like each month I save enough to live for another half a year. While at the same time, I know there's 800 million people who still go to bed hungry each day. And so I didn't really understand why, like, do I make so much and have so much when I actually don't need that much? And why is there still so many people? And over time, I actually realized it's not only people, but animals, like the biosphere, et cetera, why are there so many things out there that suffer from this process of like me trying to have more and more, and like everyone else around me trying to have more and more, and that being the only goal that everyone pursues. And so like everyone chases after this, like this I don't know, like this pile of
the
cash.
Dream. Yeah.
Yes. And I realized I actually like I did exactly the same with the idea in mind that once I've like saved enough, I'll be finally be free and I can do whatever I want. Only to realize over time that I was actually like I had built my own prison around this, and I would never reach that this designated goal at some point in the future. So yeah, so this was basically one thought that went through my mind. Another one, like this, the transactionality, money at the forefront of like everything, and also economic principles at the forefront of everything. I think secondly, I also really realized that I had lived we focus a lot in our society on like the external world. Money, KPIs, your looks, you name it, like everything, anything that's out there and can be measured. But there's a lot of things that are potentially not out there and can be measured, yeah. Or that do not have like a monetary or an economic value, but they are absolutely invaluable.
More important. Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Invaluable. Mm. Yes.
Like your brain. How loud is it? Do you have control over it? Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I think this was a second like thing that was nagging at me. And to be honest, I don't think these thoughts, I was very conscious of them, but it took me quite some time to just like realize that I'm unhappy, I'm not in a place where I want to be, and then like take one step after another to try figuring out what is good for me, what feels good. And I think to some extent I also had to reconnect more with this, like the less analytical, less strategic, less planning side, and just see like what feels good and what feels bad. And for some time I just went for walks in parks, and whenever there was a junction I just listened to my gut and was like, where do I want to go? Like, don't think about like the specific route that you want to take, but at each like intersection, simply what does your gut feeling say about which area looks nicer? Where do you want to go? And I did that for some time. This was a very like cool and funky experience, because I stopped in this like, what's the most efficient route through the park where I can see the most?
We're trained that way. And we're taught to ignore the gut feeling because it's not logical. It doesn't make sense. Well, where has sense gotten us? Draining the planet. You know what I mean? There's just like... Something's not adding up here.
Yes. And at a certain point, and exactly, we train that way, but at a certain point, I think you can start questioning this like training. And like you can, and this is, I guess, this like fully blown existentialism where for some time, at least, I was really questioning like, okay, so like if I don't follow the like logical analytical route or the career route, like what should I follow? Like what is a viable alternative that is okay for me to like pursue? Mm-hmm. And so like for a very long time I was basically in a space where I had no guidance, and it was there was no goal, there was no objectives. And it took me quite some time to like get through that, reach a place where I care less about goals, but at the same time I've managed to come up with things that I care about, that are important to me, and then start pursuing them.
And I imagine that's difficult, because like you're saying, I mean, we're trained to kind of care about certain things, like for instance in school, grades, you know, and moving on to the next level and passing.
Yeah.
And it takes that critical thought that you're talking about to really identify, well, actually I care about having a lot of free time or dancing or the people in my life, you know, and I don't know. I feel like that breakthrough for some can be really hard to get to, and cutting through essentially all the so props to you, for putting yourself on that journey. It takes a lot of courage to not know exactly what's next after we're taught so long to try to figure out exactly what's next.
Yes. Yeah, it's thanks. It was not an easy journey. It's there's still moments, and I also realized that I'm driven by a lot of my fears, and I'm actually a relatively anxious person. And it took me a very, very long time to just realize that I'm actually an anxious person. I had never seen myself as an anxious person. It was just simply there, but I was entirely unaware.
Oh my God. Wait, hold on. Yes. I thought I was just normal. You know, I was like obsessive about stuff. I'm super anal sometimes. And like,
I'm anxious. I honestly think it's very, very common, and a lot of this, like this desire to have more greed, whatever you want to call it, comes from this need to be safe, to be secure, to be stable, and what we touched upon quite early on, like you don't know what's going to happen. I mean, this is fundamentally what life is about. Like you don't know whether you step outside and you'll be run over by a bus. We try to minimize these risks, and we try to take everything into account, and then maximize for like safety. But the moment you actually live your life that way, you'll end up being driven by your fears.
Yes.
And yeah, thanks. And then if you're lucky enough to reach, I don't know, 80, 90 years of age, you'll look back at your life and you'll be like, why did I never have the guts to like move into these fears? Like they were not deadly. So like, why did I never face them? Why did I always run away from them? I mean, I think if you manage to like go into them and like engage with them, you realize firstly, hey, things are actually not that bad on the other side, wherever the other side is. And then secondly, also, if I just sit down with my fears, I can start to like manage them or like accept them or be with them, and that results actually in a more like peaceful time and a more enjoyable time.
Yes, one of being an anxious person, and I again didn't realize this until maybe 2 years ago. But I was again so anal as a child, like very compulsive, all of those things. I had shoulder tension very early. I think something that I realized as I like did yoga training was that I actually have the option to control my thoughts. For so long, I was like, oh, this is out of my jurisdiction. Like they just go and go and go and I can't do anything about that. So I just have to deal with it. No, like no. It's the other way around. Yoga begins now. Yoga is about control of the mind before anything else. Mm-hmm. And so learning that I could just simply like change the flow of thoughts or focus my thoughts in one direction. I'm not saying I don't ever have intrusive thoughts, of course, because you know, life is life, but I have more control than I think, and that's been really empowering. And so I think that connects a lot to some of the work that you do with deep breath and managing self-esteem. And so if you know you would like, I'd love for you to share with the listeners a little bit more about deep breath and what they might be able to learn.
Yes, absolutely. So deep breath is a like personalized program that allows you to work on low self-esteem. We've developed this with four psychologists, like a couple of content writers, a videographer, and basically what we do, and we're currently working on like a product revamp, is each day will give you basically a 10-minute unit lesson, whatever you want to call it. That is best for you at that point of time in helping you with your low self-esteem. So like we'll initially like run you through a test, see where you struggle with the most, what are some of the areas that you need help with, and then give you like a personalized program pathway that allows you to fastest work on your low self-esteem. Why do I think self-esteem, or why do we believe that self-esteem is like a very, very critical component? Firstly, I think because I've suffered from low self-esteem myself and I know what it feels like. It's pretty.
Yeah, it is. That resonates. Yep.
Yes. Yeah. And surprisingly, I think everyone can relate to that. Like everyone knows what low self-esteem feels like because we've all been there. We've all been without confidence, etc. And it can really like turn your life into a struggle. So I think this like very subjective experience that we all share. And then secondly, I also think there's, for example, if you look at anxiety and depression, two of like the most common like forms of mental disorders in quotation marks that people have. I think anxiety is mostly worry about the future. Depression is mostly regret about the past.
Yes.
And self-esteem is, if you have high self-esteem, you're confident that you will be able to manage with whatever challenge arises in the future. So it helps with reducing anxiety. And if you have high self-esteem, you also have a positive self-image of yourself, which reduces regret about the past. So self-esteem is kind of like the link between these two very, very common like struggles that people have, while at the same time being very, very narrow. And there's very like there's basically a lot that can be done about improving your self-esteem. And so, yes, this is how deep breath came about. And honestly, I'm super excited for like the revamp. I think what we're working on is super cool and exciting. And it warmed my heart. We had like an early alpha version. We funneled a few users through it and were in relatively close contact with all of them. And it really warmed my heart to like get the positive feedback, to like have people reach out and say, honestly, this is what I've been looking for the past 15 years. Yeah. So this is insanely like useful, and it's helped me make sense of something that I've been struggling with, that I've like seen specialists about, but have been unable to like really get rid of. And that was super cool. And hopefully we can turn this into something that allows everyone a deep breath to like continue working there, to like make a living. We have a wonderful like team spirit, and we have a wonderful community, and we have people who really care about what they do. And it'd be absolutely beautiful if we could turn that into something that like persists like beyond my own personal savings.
Yeah, that is not where I thought you were going, but yes. Wait, I don't want my last to take away from everything you just said. Wow. I've never thought about it exactly like that, but I think it is so real. I mean, we hear things about self-love, which like, yes, so important. And I've never thought about it as a way that can mitigate both depression and anxiety, because it builds the confidence that you can get through struggles even as you face them, because it's not like they go away, right? And part of getting through them is just believing you can. Which again just proves how powerful the mind is, and that is why we need control over it. But wow. Yeah, that's really powerful.
Thanks. I think exactly what you like, how powerful the mind is. Absolutely, the mind is incredible in what it can do. And the moment you start like realizing this, the moment you also realize that it's, you have a better time if you start befriending your mind and what you said, self-love, self-compassion. These, for example, that's it's also related to self-esteem, ironically or interestingly, is probably a better adjective. So like the moment you start befriending yourself, you get to hang out with yourself 24/7. Like it really makes sense to start befriending yourself, and there's no point in beating yourself up. And we have this, and I don't know where it comes from, but I guess it's a cultural value that we have this idea. If we whiplash ourselves, we'll be able to like really perform to the best of our abilities. Yeah. And only then we'll have value, and like only in that case, like we'll be like a full human being. But you don't get there. Like there's, if you train your mind to be harsh to yourself, all you do is end up being harsh to yourself all the time, because you can never live up to your own standard. That perfection in your mind is unattainable. So what you can do, and people very often wonder, what if I don't whiplash myself? Will I end up being lazy? Will I end up like not trying my best or whatever? But it's absolutely not the case. What actually ends up being the case is, firstly, chances are you'll invest more time and energy into the things you enjoy doing. And that automatically, like this intrinsic motivation, results in you being more engaged. And we all know, I don't know, shower thoughts, creativity. We have wonderful ideas. When we're not consciously necessarily thinking about things. And so you open up that space to just like engage more fully with what it is you want to engage with, and then pursue that fully without beating yourself up along the way. So you end up having fun, and you end up befriending your mind, and it's honestly a better place to hang out.
Yeah. And I feel like you understand yourself better. In the past year, I started to live alone. And I'm someone that is very sensitive to my environment. I've noticed that now that I live alone. And it's been like nothing else in my life. It's been such a powerful time for me. It's helped me own in on my creativity, because I have more space for myself to listen to myself, to befriend my mind, to make sure it's not a torturous place to be in, because I don't think I gave myself that time before. So it's so real. I mean, I'm so much more creative than I was a year ago. And maybe I shouldn't even say it that way. I guess I listen to my creativity more and have more space for it. And so, we all should in an ideal world, have a great deep understanding of ourselves, because we like ourselves. And it sounds so straightforward, but it's so hard, or can be made to feel hard, when really it's just that self-acceptance, self-compassion.
Yes, absolutely. And I also, I mean, at the end of the day, how do you experience the world? You only have yourself as a means to experience the world. So the better you know yourself, the better you know what's going on inside of you, the more of an understanding you have of the world around you and also how you react to the world. So it actually ends up making you experience richer if you know yourself better. Because it's basically like fine-tuning a receiver. Like you increase the resolution of you going through life, and as a consequence, your life ends up being richer. It ends up being fuller, and you are also able to like more deeply engage with whatever happens, simply because you also know you can tap into like empathy, for example. Mm-hmm. You can be empathetic. Yes. You can be compassionate. And it doesn't drag you down. Like, you can open up to someone, you can form a connection. And at the same time, you have the confidence that you can, after having formed that connection, maybe experienced someone else going through grief, going through like the loss of a loved one. You can still carry enough strength. And you also realize it actually makes you stronger and like it makes you experience fuller. And so, yeah. What do you think for you when living with other people? What do you think kept you from like this creative space, like tapping into that?
Oh man, then there's a whole layer of things. So the first is that I'm just really tapped into how people are feeling, and that's my own lack of boundaries. So it's just it's just kind of how I am, like always sensing energy. It's like a survival mechanism, honestly, for me. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, it was because I was in school, and in school I was stretched very thin. My calendar was booked always. There was always something demanding my time, and I let it, right? I'm not trying to villainize anyone. I let that happen. And so I just didn't have space. Like, there was no space for 4 years of my life. I was very dedicated to work, the grades, you know, the beating myself up, trying to do better all the time. And it took 4 years and like breakdowns and shoulder issues and stress phrases to finally be like, and then moving to be by myself to finally understand that that's not what I need in my life. And it's not what I like. And I like a lot of other things, and I have other values that extend beyond academia and performance and my public perception. So it's torturous. You know, it's almost like, at what point are you going to say this is enough and this is not what I want? And how much are you going to betray yourself, your body? Like, there's going to be so many alarm bells going off, and it's like, are you going to pay attention to them and do something about it? Because I had plenty of alarm bells.
Yes. Yes. Thanks for sharing. And yes, I agree. And it goes back to these alarm bells. It's easy to ignore them because the mind is so powerful. Exactly the same. So I think this is interesting because it sounds very much, and I mean, you were still in consulting. I was in consulting. The insecure overachiever. It's easy to ignore these alarm bells, which only alludes to like how much of a reality we can create and how easy it is. Mm-hmm. And I was on consulting projects where I basically didn't have enough time to eat for like 7 to 10 days. And I started losing weight, and I didn't even feel hunger anymore. And looking back, I find it really fascinating that I like pushed myself through this. And to some extent, it also like it only showed me how little self-respect I had, or how little I cared about myself, basically.
Yeah.
Because you don't do this to someone you love. Like, no person you love, you'd refuse to give them food for a week. You would be like, listen up, take a break, sit down, eat. So it's very, very common that we do the worst things to ourselves. And so it can actually help to at times take this outsider's perspective. And maybe that can help in like becoming more aware of these alarm bells. Like, imagine you're talking to yourself, like you're talking to a friend, and like, what would your friends say? And this outsider's perspective very often kind of like baseline us. And give us a guidance and be like, okay, maybe it's time I like go to bed. I wake up tomorrow morning, I shower, I like have breakfast, and then I continue.
The self-nourishment. And it's not selfish. I think that's another story that gets told. It's selfish to say no to people for your own space, or it's selfish to like spend money, and it doesn't even need to be money, but spend whatever it is on yourself that just brings more nourishment to your body. And maybe that means you're saying no to babysitting to a friend, or maybe that means, you know, oh, you're ignoring a phone call. not selfish. Like, I don't know where that comes from, but you know, that's like another word that's used, and just want to like dispel that for listeners as well. It's not selfish to care about you. That's your duty in this life before anything. So
yes. Yeah. And thanks for bringing that up, because it rings very, very true. And I think what always comes to my mind is on airplanes, they like when they go through this, like the airplane crash announcement, whatever, like in case of an emergency, one of the things they always say about like the masks with like the oxygen is first help yourself and then help others. And mm-hmm. the same applies to like to anything in life. And it can be tricky to like wrap your mind around this, because you're like, why, like only if I help others, I'll actually like really be helpful. And like, I can put myself aside and take care of myself later. But yeah. I think what can help to think about is basically only if you help yourself, you end up being stronger. And the stronger you are, also like the more of a burden you can potentially carry for other people.
Yeah.
So like you need to have a good relationship with yourself, or having a good relationship with yourself helps in having a good relationship with others.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's absolutely not selfish, because only that selfishness kind of allows you to be like helping. And
yeah.
we don't have an issue with the selfishness in an economic sense. Like,
yeah.
I mean, our economic system is structured in a way that says exactly maximize profit for yourself.
Yeah.
That's totally fine to do, but mm-hmm. you're not allowed to like in the more like human values. To,
yeah.
I don't know, take care of like yourself first. So we have a very warped perception of like how we should go about things. And there's value in realizing that, coming to terms with that, and then you can make a more conscious decision. And I think that's a very good starting point to allow yourself to do more of what you think is worthwhile doing.
Yeah. No, it's so true. This is really good. I'm like excited for everyone to listen to this. And okay, Ben. So I have one last question for you, and mm-hmm. I'm just curious if it's for the listeners, and I hope I can ask every guest this question, if also you're a Leo. Ben's a Leo.
I am, yes. I forgot to mention that initially. I am Leo.
It's okay. If the listeners don't remember anything else about this episode, which I'm sure they will, because you've said a lot of really impactful things, but you know, always want to tie with a bow. If they don't remember anything else, what's one thing you really want the listeners to take away with them from this podcast episode?
And I think the one thing that is really important is, if it's not a deadly fear you have of something, obviously within like the realms of common sense, move into that fear. Don't move away from your fears, and don't be constrained by them. Because otherwise all you'll do your entire life is run away from your fears, and you'll never realize that you can only live your life basically in the here and now. So like, move into your fears if you can. Obviously don't risk yourself, stay safe, but at the same time realize, and this is what we commonly refer to as irrational fears.
Yeah.
Move into these irrational fears, and doing that will allow you to like get to know yourself better, become more confident, become braver, and also to like change how you relate to the world, how you relate to yourself, which will in turn have a positive effect on your overall well-being. And at the end of the day, I think all of us want to be happy.
Yes. And there's whole businesses around it, you know? Anyway.
Yes.
We just move into the fear. All right. And people should also sign up for Deep Breath, but I will make sure to include that information in the show description.
Yes. Please do, or reach out if you have any questions, thoughts, anything else. I love hearing from people.
Okay.
So please contact me.
Yes, I'll put your contact info in the description. In like, everyone talk to Ben. Obviously, everyone's going to want to talk to you after listening to this. So can I just say thank you so much for sharing your wisdom, knowledge, experience with us. I think it's so powerful about human life that we're all living such different but similar experiences. So That's the whole point of this podcast, so we can all just listen and learn from each other. And thank you for bringing yourself today.
Thanks for having me. It was an absolute pleasure. Thanks.
Duh. All right. Thanks, Ben.
Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of Working Within. We're ecstatic that you made it this far. If you liked what you heard, we'd really appreciate your reviews and shares. And if you want to become a monthly supporter, you can click the link in our episode description as well. As always, stay connected with us through our Instagram, working.within, and our website, workingwithin.net. We hope to see you again soon.